Hold on, girl. Let me take this. Hold on. Hello? You ain't gotta like me, but you gonna like what I have to say. Welcome. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to episode 12. It's your girl, Margaret, as always. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, pressing play, subscribing, following, fast-forwarding, rewinding back, because we know you always missing some shit. Either way, I definitely appreciate the love and support. So, first of all, thank you guys so much again for the love and support. I mean, it's real, it's there. I mean, I don't even gotta say it. So, let's just say that. Anyway, as you can see from the title of today's episode, the Heartbreak Hotline. Recently, on September 9th, I actually dropped my second EP. And I'm just so proud. I'm so excited. The love and support that's been given to me, you know, through all the platforms has just been so amazing. The people that have just been helping me, you know, promo, the people that have been waiting to count down the drop, people that just was there during the drop, like, I'm so overwhelmed and I'm just so grateful. So I wanted to get on my platform and just kind of do a breakdown because I've gotten some feedback so far about the EP. I've gotten questions. I've gotten, you know, all the things. You know, people want the scoop and they want a breakdown. And so that's why I decided to get on here just to kind of break down, you know, what the EP means to me, you know, some of the questions I've gotten and, you know, kind of how the project came together and shit. So as always, as you all know how it goes with podcasting on my episodes, these are my thoughts and sentiments. And if you don't fuck with it, you should not be pressing play. I think we know this already. So yeah, let me just talk about it. So for starters, so the Heartbreak Hotline, wow. So it is basically two songs on there. There's an interlude and there's two things called the voicemail. The concept basically is just I decided to create a hotline for people who have their heart broken. And in particular, it's for the people that have broken my heart. And obviously in matters of love. And so I wanted to put my comedic spin on it alongside with just some real shit. It's funny because as you guys know, I do comedy music. And so for this EP, I feel like there's one song that's kind of like comedic but serious. And then there's one that I feel like is just more serious. And I wanted to do that because I just wanted to kind of grow myself as an artist. And I just wanted to see if I was capable of actually creating something without so much comedic relief in it, if that makes sense. And I'm just so proud because I was able to. So yeah, I mean, you know, the interlude that pops out is basically my 1-800 heartbreak hotline, where if you call in, you know, you can kind of spill your heart out, and if you broke my heart, you're gonna be on hold. And the concept behind that is just that, you know, I'm not allowing people back into my life if they've broken my heart. So you will forever be waiting, if that makes sense. So let me talk about the songs and then I'll talk about the voicemails, because I know that's kind of the controversy in a bit from some of the feedback I've gotten. So the first song, 1-800 Just Friends, it's funny because this song got recorded last month and it only got recorded because one of my friends had found me this producer and he does like samples and he creates beats off of BeatStars. He was like streaming through it and, you know, went through his own website and looked at it and he found me this song. And it was funny because back in April earlier this year, I actually played Life Goes On, Bitch to some of my friends. And so he remembered that and he was like, hey, have you ever decided what you're gonna do with that song? And I was like, nah, I think it's just gonna sit in the vault. And he was like, well, I found you a beat and it might be like a package thing you could do. So when I heard the beat with the sample, it was so beautiful and immediately it just like stuck with me. So for 1-800 Just Friends, the concept is just basically about falling in love with your friend. It's where you build a friendship with someone, you know, and it's that high school love, you know, whether you met them in high school or not, it's just that nostalgic feeling of love where you start off as friends, you decide to explore it. And even when you graduate from high school and you guys go your separate ways in your adult life, you know, the universe brings you back together just for you guys to kind of come in full circle and to try it again, of course, in the adult world, so to speak. Where the song kind of takes a turn, which I think is very relatable, is that while you get to experience this amazing love story, in turn, there's a lot of things that goes on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't know. And it's kind of like that quote that everything that glitters is in gold. And eventually one person kind of becomes tired. And then it's where you kind of witness the storyline of a friendship turning into a love connection, into damn near enemies in a way. And towards the end of the song, as you can kind of hear, it's the realization of realizing that the love story's over and how you were once friends and now lovers and now you're strangers. And I think it's a very relatable song to anybody going through a breakup, of all the things you visualize with a person and everything you've been through and how fate can bring you back together. It's intense. It's amazing. But then in the same breath, you're witnessing the death of this friendship, the death of this relationship, and almost becoming a person that you didn't even want to, and even witnessing this person doing and becoming someone you never imagined or even wanted them to be. And so that's kind of what the concept of 1-800-JUST-FRIENDS is about. Now, for Life Goes On, Bitch. That song I made when I was in a very angry space, because I was still, you know, fresh out of still working on healing. And, you know, a lot of people don't know, but, you know, behind the scenes, I was going through a lot of things, even in that connection that ended, where I felt I was being provoked. And it just inspired that song. And, you know, it honestly and truly, I had no intentions of releasing the song. It wasn't until the guy that's playing bass on there, which is Louis B., his name is Brandon. He heard it when I played it on my live, just the beat, not the, you know, actual song. And he was like, I want to play bass on there. And I was like, cool, whatever. And when I created it, I was just like, I don't know where this is going. And, you know, I'm working on cutting season 2, and I'm like, this can't go on cutting season 2 because I have other plans for it. So I just put it in the vault. And so when I was able to record 1-800-JUST-FRIENDS, I was able to then get my feature. And I said, fuck it, I'm gonna drop an EP, which is crazy for me because I only had intentions this year dropping 1, and now I'm dropping 2. So Life Goes On, Bitch is, I wanna say, for me, when I think about it, it's comedy, of course, because of how many times I say the word bitch. But it gives me that Eminem Stan vibe in a way, where he's just so angry penning his letter and shit like that in a way. And it's kind of like that concept. And it is a legitimate diss track. And it is a legitimate response to all the things that, you know, in that previous connection, that person has done to me. And I felt like it was the most relief and releasing thing to do, because it's my life, it's my story, and it's something I really went through. And it's interesting because a lot of people who have listened to it, you know, of course they laugh at it, and, you know, it has the comedy approach to it, but every fucking bar that I talk about is real shit. And it's one of those things where I love the fact that I'm a creator, because, you know, there have been a lot of things that went on behind the scenes that this person's fully aware that they done, that I had to roll off my shoulders. So it was just my way of releasing. And being able to drop this and put it in an EP, I feel like it's like the nail in the coffin for me. Like, it's finally done. And it's the most amazing feeling, because when you look back at the start of the year of your journey up until now, it's like, probably in a million years, if I really cared an ounce of that connection or that person's perspective or anything, or even wanting that person back, I probably would have never dropped this. And so it makes me proud to know that I was able to overcome this. Now, I want to get into the voicemails, because what was important for me was obviously the concept of a hotline, but I wanted to keep it personal because this was my life. But more importantly, I think the parts that people don't talk about too much in music anymore is relationships that are not only just toxic, but abusive. And, you know, especially me on a spiritual journey, the voicemails are definitely pieces of my life that are real, factual as well, because I know that's going to be a concern for some people. And it was cultivated to display and showcase, obviously, introductions to each of the individual songs. But it also in turn was to touch on topics that are realistic. And the crazy thing is that voicemail number 2 is one that resonates a lot. It shocked a lot of people. And I wanted to create that atmosphere, so to speak, or that aesthetic, because that was my life. And sometimes when you're young and dumb in love, you really don't even realize the kind of connection you're in, the amount of toxicity in it, and more importantly, the abuse that you go through. And I want to be clear, because I know that anyone that listens to my podcast, people that know me in real life, obviously, and then obviously there's the other side. I know so many things can get said. I know so many people are gonna wanna take what they wanna say and do what they wanna do. I don't care. You know, the reality of this situation that I went through, that I had to come to terms with, especially in therapy, especially in my spiritual journey, is that I was in a connection with a person that was narcissistic and, yes, abusive. Gaslighting is abuse. when people cheat on you, that's abuse. When people manipulate you, that's abuse. Now, I want to be clear with that because I'm aware that abuse can be taken to the furthest extreme and people, you know, it's not just a physical abuse thing that I'm speaking of. I'm speaking of an emotionally abusive person. And more importantly, before I get into it, I am very accountable and I'm aware of my own shadows and what I brought to the table. However, I am not an idiot and I'm the queen of receipts. And it's not even about showing receipts to prove something, but it's more about I have receipts where in my own personal vault, where I have done voice notes, okay, where I've processed my emotions in therapy, you know what I mean? Where I have moments, conversations, etc., just like I'm sure this person does too. And more importantly, text messages, etc., that when you reread it, especially in your healing journey, you're like, wow, I was in that. And voicemail number two was exactly that. And I wanted to put out voicemail number two because it's those moments where you can trust someone to your fullest capacity with your deepest, darkest secrets, only for them to use your triggers against you, only for them to believe and to say, because they recommended therapy to you, that they sent you there. And it's the most traumatic thing to go through because this is a person that you love, a person you want to spend the rest of your life with, a person that you trusted with your deepest, inner, darkest secrets. And I'm talking about childhood trauma, like traumatic things. And just to have a person utilize that information against you and to other people because a breakup is going on and a person got caught cheating is the most lowest thing a human being can do. But it's the realest thing that has happened in my life. And it's crazy because a lot of people said they've been through stuff like that and it triggered them and it was relatable. And that's why I create what I do. And regardless of what anyone wants to say, deny, I have real receipts. Do I need to put it on public display for people? No, but don't tempt me either. Just saying. You know, the purpose behind this was not to exploit another individual, but was to tell my story because it's real. And I feel like for even during the period of time when I was focusing on my healing, I feel like I still was in a state of illusion where, you know, I kept pointing the finger and thinking like I was just the only problem. And, you know, you have to sit down and be logical. And sometimes you have to play back those memories over and over again till you realize that, yeah, no, this person was problematic, you know? And it's not to say that this person was a horrible human being. However, this is a person that I think refuses to acknowledge all the parts that they played and how they manipulated the entire situation and then the effects and the aftermath of it on another person. And the crazy thing is that when I created this EP, before it was even an EP, so to speak, I guess just the one song, that was like my way of closure because ultimately this person never fully gave me my closure. This person gave me the most backhanded, bullshit ass apology, and it was really more so emphasizing on like I'm crazy, that the things I saw was delusional and I'm just sorry, and downplayed it only for later it to be the truth, you know what I mean, a fact, you know. And that for me had never settled right because ultimately you love someone, and when you look at the history, right, I'm talking high school history and all that stuff you hear in 1-800 Just Friends, for it to just come crashing down and burning, you know, you're confused. And then later to just start to see and learn the truth. And then you see this person egging you on, like, you know, doing little things, like I said, like the drop in the video on the anniversary, you know, it's a song about me, you know, that's triggering, you know, then paying high profile, you know what I mean? Instagram accounts to promote it. You know what I mean? That's triggering, you know, and then jumping into, you know, little interviews and having people who are interviewing this person, you know what I mean? Like trying to come at me and pretending like the person didn't even know me. And you know, that's triggering because ultimately this is all a facade that this person has created because they don't want to accept the fact that they're a fucking narcissist and that they took it too fucking far in life and that they've hurt someone with no purpose to do it. And just to maintenance the image, the mask, the lie, you know, and not even realizing that the maintenance in what they're doing, you know, has caused severe deficit to another individual. And it took me a while just to get through something like this. And I still have the after effects, you know? It's hard for me to trust people now. I don't wanna open up, you know? I don't wanna do that because it's scary, you know? Only for what? A person to use it against you later? And I won't hold you. Like, yes. Did I have to go into my bag and pull out things and say stuff like how you heard on the song? Of course I did that. I own that. However, why? And, you know, that's why in 1-800-JUST-FRIENDS, I said, fire ting, blood is all I see. I really wish you ain't tempt me. Because I know my temper and I know my triggers. And the crazy thing is that a lot of people don't even notice, you know, especially if we're gonna go into bits of the storyline. This person knew my triggers. This person knew infidelity was a trigger to me. This person knew I came with insecurities. This person knew I didn't enjoy that. And prior to that, this person put me through how many other situation circumstances? So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, you take it. And mind you, for a whole entire year, you know, on Instagram, we look amazing. All these people are like, oh my God, the high schoolers, they're back together. All these goals, but deep down inside, I'm going through it week in and week out. Not trusting the motherfucker. And yet they're making it seem like I'm just paranoid and insecure, but all along they were doing what they were doing. You know what I mean? And that's fucking triggering. So yeah, when a person paints a certain picture and they beg you to take them back and they put on a show like they want that, and then only later you find out they're fucking cheating. Yeah, it's a fucking trigger. Yeah, I'm gonna burn down the whole fucking village. And yeah, I'm gonna take your ass with me. You know, it's just a given. And I will tell you this much, when I kicked off the top of the year and I did what I did, that was rebel season for me. And I have no regrets, you know? Could I go back in time and handle it a little differently? Sure. However, it wouldn't put me in this position now today. You know what this position now is? Is that I would never want to deal with an individual ever like that in my life. And I've learned so many lessons in doing that, you know? And for a while, I used to think like, you know, could have been resolved. And I tried. I tried to do the bigger thing above this person because I was tired of being watched. And I tried. And then now I'm at a space where I'm like, I don't care about closure. I don't care what this person thinks. I don't care if this person wants to scream from the rooftops and play the victim like he's been doing. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I'm proud that I don't have to live my life as a lie. I can live my life in truth, you know? And I know some people are gonna say I'm doing something for clout, and I'm not, because my life is not clout. More importantly, it's not clout if I have receipts. And we're talking your fucking face, your fucking number, yeah, okay? Let's just be clear. So I just wanna clarify that. This is not clout, this is my life. And I do this shit because at the end of the day, this here, not only just helps me, it helps other people. There's a lot of people going through heartbreak right now. A lot of people trying to get over emotional abusive relationships. A lot of people trying to get through or get past fucking narcissists. That's just real. And you have to understand, when you're in a situation with a narcissist, they play so many mind games on you and they trick your ass into thinking you're the fucking problem. To the point that there are times I was asking, am I toxic? And then when I'm playing back certain things and situations, that I'm like, you shouldn't even be questioning your anger or questioning the way you feel because of this person, and their actions are warranted legitly. But when you're with a narcissist, you don't fucking recognize that. And I think for me, it's just a sad and heartbreaking situation to date, because I know this person, and or at least I thought I did. And just to go from high school and then being separated and having the storyline of reconnecting again and coming in full circle, for it to just crash and burn like that, and this person just evolved into a person you don't even fucking know. It's crazy. And then to see this person just put up the charades and stand in it, it's crazy. And all I can do is just pray for people. Real talk. For me, I'm in a space now where it's like, forgive you, but fuck you. You know, I don't need the apology. I don't need the said closure. I don't need the truth. I don't need it screamed from the rooftops. I mean, if you want to live your life in a lie, whether it's with whoever, I don't care, you know? And I even had to come to realizations, like just looking at patterns that you miss, you know? And there were just things about this person in previous relationships that they expressed to me that just fucking rolled over into this connection. And you know, even too, when I'm looking at this person's timeline, the way that they just can jump. And it's like, niggas don't spend time healing, because that's what narcissists do. They're like, oh, I can't control this victim, the next one. Oh, the next one. That's the storyline. And it's pathetic. It's pathetic. You know, for me, I'm grateful that I spent the last 9 months doing this. Dropping this on 9/9 is all about endings and completion and a new beginning. And that's why it's so powerful that I did this. It's so powerful that I spoke my truth. It's so powerful that I put it out unapologetically because I don't need to filter my shit. I don't have to live my life in a lie. I know who I am. I know the fucking facts. Everything you hear from start to finish is a fucking fact and can be proven as a fact. But more importantly, regardless of proof or not, you know what's the bigger picture here? Is that everybody that plays that shit, everybody that it resonates for, everybody that said it spoke for, that's what I do it for. And I'm proud. And you can't take that from me. So yeah, I feel like this EP is finally done. Everything is done. It's complete. I'm happy. I'm just excited now, like new content. I've actually, over the last several months, experienced way different things. And it was even the weirdest thing, kind of like filming 1-800-JUST-FRIENDS, but I'm like, oh, I don't feel like that no more. And so it's just dope that I was finally able to just seal this and close it out. And I'm just looking forward to grinding out the next 4 months, finishing out my other EP. I have a lot of other things going on that's just been so up for me and I'm so grateful for. And that's it. And just, you know, writing, you know, other content, focusing on other things that's always going to be relatable to the people that listen. So yeah. So closing notes. So of course, as I should mention, if you have not heard my EP, The Heartbreak Hotline, please stream it. Second of all, per the usual, just thank you guys. Like for real, like the people that just genuinely support me, the people that rock with me, the people that tap in. I mean, it's been love. And I've even gotten some people hit me up. They want to collaborate. It's all love. And I'm just grateful. And I feel like, you know, me being able to like step up my bar game a little bit, it just makes me all proud and shit, because I just started doing music a year ago. And it was for fun. It still is for fun. And so this was more on the serious note for me. And I mean, I know I have bars and punchlines, but this was a more serious note. And it was different for me. And I really enjoyed it, though. It took me out of my comfort zone and made me like put more effort and energy into, you know, presentation and the vibes and how I want people to feel. And it was just dope. Like, I played the hell out of this EP before we got it uploaded, even mixed and mastered. And I just wanted to really touch the hearts of people. And I'm just so glad I did. And I thank you guys for letting me. So yeah, well, I definitely appreciate the love and support per the usual. Thank you so much for tapping into today's episode, and I'll catch you guys on the next one.